Just an aside, we're discussing some ideas before the shiur starts. The question of the status of the patriarchs, the matriarchs, the status of keeping the mitzvos before the Torah was given is not a simplistic issue. It would appear from the Rambam that the avos did not keep the tariag mitzvos, the 613 commandments, as we know it, even though Chazal do make references to the tariag mitzvos. For example, that's the famous Chazal talking about Yaakov, when Yaakov went to meet Esav. And he instructed the messengers to tell Esav, when you meet him, tell him, Ko amar achicha Yaakov, thus says your brother Yaakov, im lovan garti, vo'echar adarta. But Chazal say there was a hidden message, im lovan garti, v'taryag mitzvah shamarti. I dwelled with lovan and I kept the taryag mitzvos. V'lo limadati mimas avaroim, and I didn't learn from his evil deeds. Now, in my opinion, they're using tariag over here, but I don't think you are obligated to conclude that he kept the full 116 commandments. What they mean is he kept the system, the 613 commandments. Many of the mitzvos do not seem, at first glance, to make sense in the context of the patriarchs, because so many mitzvos are contingent upon events that happen later on. Remembering the exodus from Egypt, the destruction of Amalek because of what they did to you when you left, and so on and so forth. There are many mitzvahs, obviously, that are based upon events that had not happened yet. And according to the Rambam explains, you start off from the seven Noahide laws. Avraham added certain mitzvahs, such as the tefillah of Shachris, milah, circumcision. From the fact that he kept some of those mitzvos, one can deduce that he did not keep the other mitzvos. And Yitzhak added the tefillah of Mincha, and then Meiser, and that's how he says. And Yaakov added, and in Mitzrayim they added mitzvos, until the Torah was completed, so to speak, at Sinai, with the full system was given at Sinai. And even after Sinai, by the way, it wasn't, even after Sinai, in the Midbar, they got more mitzvos. If you maintain literally that they kept all the mitzvahs, you run into a number of problems. My interpretation of these statements that they kept 613 taryag is that all of the Torah is really a system of ideas. It's a way of life. It's a philosophical system based on ultimate truth. And they're all incorporated into a system. The system of Taryag Mitzvos leads a person, directs a person, takes all these truths and makes it concrete, particular actions, etc. Each of one has a tremendous benefit in perfecting the person morally, mentally, intellectually, and so forth. So what it means is that the Avos lived in accordance with the system of the Torah. They lived in accordance with the ideals. But that doesn't mean to say that they kept all the particularities. In that sense, they kept Taryag, fulfilling the perfection of the Mitzvos. You have many problems if you're going to take it literally. One of the problems that's been mentioned is the fact that how could Yaakov marry two sisters, which is something that is prohibited by the Torah? And a number of answers have been given, and there are those who maintain that, if I believe the answer of the Ramban, that is prohibited because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. I'm sorry. Good point. Correction. That is to say, the Ramban is saying that they kept the mitzvos, that the Avos kept the mitzvos when they were in Eretz Yisrael, but not outside, and therefore this took place outside. And it's being mentioned that therefore there are some who say that that's why Rachel died on the way to Eretz Yisrael when they were coming back, because of that problem, that you couldn't have two wives in Eretz Yisrael. The only thing would be, to me, that is difficult, I'd ask a question, is that it's hard to understand why she would die because of that. It's also hard to understand if you're going to say that they kept the mitzvahs, and the mitzvah, that particular mitzvah, was shayach when they were in Eretz Yisrael. So why didn't he divorce her? Why didn't Yaakov do something about it? To the contrary, one would infer from the behavior of Yaakov that he wasn't keeping the mitzvah, even in Eretz Yisrael. Because if he was keeping the mitzvah, now in coming to Eretz Yisrael, he would have had a problem. He has to remove himself from one of the wives. He has to get rid, so to speak, of one of the wives. So if you're going to maintain literally that he kept the mitzvah, and this was a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah of the Torah, to prohibition of marrying two sisters. But you want to say that it's only when they were in Eretz Yisrael. So if you're going to project that they were cognizant of all this, then the question is going to be on Yaakov. Why did he enter into the land of Israel in a state of being married to two sisters? Divorce, why did she have to die? The question is going to be, why did she have to die? It would appear that from the behavior of Yaakov that he was not cognizant of this, because it doesn't make sense to say that he would knowingly put himself in a situation of a violation of that mitzvah by entering into the land with his two wives. The premise that he kept the mitzvahs would demand that before he entered the land, he would have had to divorce one of those wives. One of the answers that has been suggested, in accordance with the assumption that the Avos kept the 613 commandments, if you maintain that it's not to be taken literally, and they weren't bound by all of these commandments, and it was permitted at that point in time to have two sisters, so then you don't have a problem altogether. But if you maintain that literally that they were bounded by these mitzvos, and you could not marry two sisters, so then, well, let me give the explanation that from Reb Chaim, I believe it's in the name of Reb Chaim Brisk, that the prohibition of marrying two sisters has to do with something which we've been discussing, that the nature of marriage underwent a change. We discussed before the Maisa of Yehuda with Tamar, that Yehuda did not know it was his daughter-in-law. He thought she was a prostitute. Now, one should not think that he was doing anything wrong in accordance with what he thought. Consorting with a prostitute was not prohibited prior to Matan Torah, as the Rambam explains, in the beginning of Isurei Bia, that this did not become prohibited until the Torah was given. And it was permitted for a man to meet a woman in the street, to make an arrangement, to take her to a place and to have relations, and to pay her. That was perfectly permitted according to the Torah at that point in time.
There was no Torah.
The concept of marriage at that point in time, Noahide marriage, which is still applicable today for Noahides, but everybody was a Noahide before the Torah was given. There was no Jews, really, strictly speaking. The concept of marriage was that, and there was a concept of marriage, because adultery is prohibited to a Noahide, that two people would get together and they decide to live together. They'd live together, they were married. As long as they lived together, they were married. There was no concept of a get. You did not need a bill of divorcement. Once they decided to separate, they split up, they were not married, she was perfectly permitted to another man. Thus, the idea of marriage was not a transformation of the person, that this person has an intrinsic definition of being a married woman. No, it was a conditional phenomenon. Conditional phenomenon. As long as you were in a married state, you were recognized as a married woman. Once you broke it, then the marriage was over. There was no need for a bill of divorcement. Once the Torah was given, there's a new concept called kedushin, that a man would be mekadesh, a woman would designate, betroth, whatever term you want to use. That effectuates a transformation in her status. She now has the status of being an Eish HaSish, designated just to this man, prohibited to the rest of the world, which remains in effect, even if they're not living together. So today, a woman can be separated, a woman can have a civil divorce, they can have been separated for 50 years. If there's no get, she is no different. She's a married woman. She's an Eishes Ish. You need the get to effectuate a change in the status. As we said, the Gemara, it's a chiddush that even the Gemara says the death of the husband is not that simplistic. We needed a proof to establish that the death of the husband breaks the status. On the basis of this concept, the point of Reb Chaim is that is the base of the prohibition of two sisters, is rooted in Kedushin. That when one sister is Mekudeshes to you, so then it is usher for the second sister to be Mekudeshes to you. It's rooted in this concept of marriage, where you have the status of Isser is inherent in the woman itself. But before Matan Torah, you didn't have that status. It was just a phenomena of being together, of living together, that the idea of two sisters does not apply to.